Yeah, here we go now, baby. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching live on YouTube right now, smash that subscribe button right down there. Hit the like button while you are at it. Great big show coming up today. We got a great big game in the NBA tonight. The Pacers in New York taking on the Knicks, game two of that series. And we have an absolutely beautiful board in Major League Baseball. Lots of afternoon and evening action there. So it brings me great pleasure to say that we're coming off a very profitable show on Monday. It was the return of the NBA Sweet Boys. Indeed, John Mettler and I combined to go 5-0 with our NBA picks. And just one game in the NBA here tonight, but we have six total picks for this game. Lots of beautiful spots for Pacers versus Knicks tonight. Guys, if you are watching the show and you want to participate in the show, if you're watching the show live right now, and if you want to participate, it is very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat on YouTube and on X. Let us know what you are betting on tonight. Major League Baseball, NBA, of course, NHL, help us out there. We have no hockey picks on the show today. We haven't had a hockey pick on the show in a while, but if you're following the NHL playoffs, let us know. John weighing in, he likes Brunson points under and PRA under for Brunson, 37.5. I think the total is for Brunson for his points. I saw somewhere that that's the second highest total for any player this season. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he can top that one. Okay, let's bring in my guy here, the magic man, the magic ass man, John Mettler. Mettler, how are we making out?
Good. It's all, like you said, only one game tonight, but I think it's going to be a good one. I'm excited for Pacers Knicks. That first game one was awesome. Pacers had a lead. They could have won that game, but some legal screening, kicked ball that wasn't a kicked ball, some questionable calls. Knicks get the win. So
yeah, the sports are fixed crowd was taking a victory lap after that one, right? Okay, so let's kick around a couple of NBA topics here before we get into our picks for Pacers Knicks tonight. Let's start with the biggest surprise here in round two so far. Of course, it is the Denver Nuggets going down 0-2 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Pretty shocking here, and sometimes everyone expects a dominant team just to keep winning, and I think sometimes that includes the team themselves, and I think this has been the case for the Nuggets until the Timberwolves came in town and they got absolutely punched in the face. They got their ass kicked in game two, and they're absolutely rattled. Jamal Murray throwing stuff on the court, Michael Malone having a temper tantrum running out on the court. So yeah, they're down 0-2 in that series. Nobody saw this coming, both games in Denver. Because coming into this series, they were 20-5 in their last 25 playoff games. That's going back to round one of last season. So a very dominant run they've been on. Not anymore, though. All that said, though, they're off until Friday, which seems a little silly. I logged in today thinking that game was tonight for some reason. But I think that that's a pretty nice advantage for the Nuggets, actually. I think they need a little bit of a mental reset here, because I think in their heads, it's just like, okay, we're supposed to win, because you saw how it went against the Lakers. They kept falling behind in every game. Then every game, they would just come back, and it was almost pretty easy. But plus 400 to come back and win this series. Now, I know you kind of like the Timberwolves going into this series, but plus 400 for the defending champs, you think that's an okay bet or what?
That is a hard pass for me.
Okay.
I did look at those prices yesterday. I still think actually you still probably have a better edge with the Wolves. Not that anyone wants to lay that minus price. We're also waiting. Like, is Jamal Murray suspended for game three? Like, we're kind of waiting.
No,
he's not.
He won't be suspended. He should. That's pretty what if somebody tripped on that and tore their ACL? Like, you know what I mean? It was a pretty asinine thing to do. They should make an example out of him. If it was the ninth man on the bench for Denver, he'd be getting suspended for the rest of the series. But no, they're just going to fine him a bunch of money, apparently.
Was that an official announcement last night? I didn't see that.
I think so. Yeah, the NBA put that out yesterday.
I saw jokes on Twitter being like, if that was Draymond Green, he'd be kicked out of the league. So that should have been my hint to go look to see what actually happened. It didn't come across my feed, though. So Jamal Murray's in. Yeah, even at that price, you know, like the Wolves, they almost like built the Timberwolves. I mean, the GM of the Timberwolves was the GM of the Nuggets. They almost built this roster to beat the Nuggets. So I just don't think it's a good matchup for the Nuggets. And, you know, going down 2-0, now you're on the road to, it's just the defense is so strong. Like, you're watching Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He was literally $100,000 fine. Okay. Nikhil Alexander-Walker was literally laughing while guarding Jamal Murray. I saw another tweet too. They're talking about, like, what should Jamal Murray's punishment be? And someone was like, he should have to play 32 minutes against the Wolves in game 3. That should be his punishment because they've had him completely locked up. I just think the defense, like, they were without Rudy Gobert. You didn't even see that in game 2. But, like, when you can have Towns as the primary defender and then Gobert as the help, and then you also have, like, multiple perimeter defenders who can take out Jamal Murray. And even, like, I think the most underrated part might be Jaden McDaniels is, for the most part, they kind of keep switching up. But he's the primary defender on Michael Porter Jr. You know, Michael Porter Jr. is a good scorer working off of Nikola Jokic and working off of Jamal Murray. They've taken Jaden McDaniels and be like, you got nothing. Like, you're being face guarded and you're just, like, out of this series type thing. So, like, the Nuggets offense, they're just really, I don't know what adjustments they can even make. The Timberwolves just have the right personnel and the right roster to make this, to take them out. And I mean, they're up 2-0. I like the Timberwolves. I like them from the start. I think I thought it'd be Timberwolves in 7. So that might not be the case anymore. I didn't think, like, this would be potential sweep or, like, 5 games or anything like that. I did think this was going to be a long series. I don't know if that's the case anymore. This might be pretty quick. And the other series, this series might be over before the other series even really gets going. So I think Mavericks and Thunder will be a long series.
Yeah. I don't like the Nuggets to come back. That's not a bet that I plan on making, plus 400 for them to come back and win some series. I like new blood. Let's see some new blood here. Get advanced to the NBA finals. Probably going to be the Celtics out of the East. But okay. So let's talk about that Mavs OKC series. The Mavs got completely outclassed in game 1 there last night. They lost by 23 points. They finished very poorly. They scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, which I didn't like because I had over 218 and they were just a couple points shy of that. So I got burned there. But maybe a little bit of a pattern developing here because the Mavs, they came out very flat in game 1 versus the Clippers as well. That game was on the road. We saw them bounce back in game 2 of that series. I like them on the money line here in game 2, plus 164 for that one. Luka was bad last night. Kyrie was especially bad in the first quarter. Take a look at Luka's game logs. He's a guy that tends to bounce back after a bad game. His point total for this game, I think it's a point less than it was in game 1. I think it's down to 31.5. I kind of like that as well. But yeah, Dallas, I think a good number, plus 164. You think the Mavs bounce back here, John?
Yeah, my stance on the series now and even coming into it was, I think at the odds and you look at the pricing, I think the Thunder had the better price. They're like minus 120 when the series started. I thought the Thunder had the better price, but I personally like the Mavericks. So I really just didn't get involved from, like, a series price standpoint because, like, mathematically, it just doesn't make sense for me to take the Mavericks at the price they're trading at. But from, like, a basketball side of things, I do like the Mavericks. I still do like the Mavericks. I think this is going to be, it could be 7 games. You know, they're down 1-0, they're on the road. Like you said, this is a team that can bounce back. They have 2 guys, you know, the Thunder have good perimeter defense. Lu Dort, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is also a good defender, but, like, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic are just, like, not matchup proof, but, like, those are, like, 2 guys. They can just create offense against any scenario. And I do like, even you saw in the first round series with the Mavericks, I like the role players too. I feel like they know what their role is on the team and what, like, Derek Jones Jr. I feel like is someone who's kind of been a little bit underrated here too. I feel like he's fit in very nicely with that starting 5. Gafford had a big game last night. I like the Mavericks. It wasn't a great showing in game 1. They're down 1-0, but they're not going to get run out in this series. I think it's going to be a close series.
Yeah, I'm going to be back on that over for game 2 as well. Okay, we don't have to spend a whole ton of time on this one. This is the worst series in round 2 here. The Boston Celtics made easy work of Cleveland last night, easily covered the big spread there. They're probably going to sweep them, win every game by double digits. Here's the problem with the Cavs. They're a one-man team. Donovan Mitchell, future member of the Orlando Magic, is something that I've been putting in. And when a player is a one-man team like this, especially in the playoffs, I do think it builds resentment. No way in hell he's going to re-up with the Cavaliers, maybe unless LeBron James comes to town. Probably not going to happen, though. So stand out for me. I mean, you can call that a positive for Mitchell that he is the one-man team, the one man standing out. But I'm pretty disappointed in Garland and Mobley here. They're both averaging fewer than 15 points per game in the playoffs. I feel like with Evan Mobley, we've been waiting on this guy. You know, it's kind of was fed to us that, hey, this guy's a future all-star. He's going to be a really good player. But the development, I don't know. He's coming on pretty slow here. Any thoughts on this series going forward? Let's just get it done and over with, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are going to win this pretty easily. I will speak to Evan Mobley. For one, I'm a fan because he went over 2.5 assists yesterday, and that was a bet I had, so he got that. I do think this is a better matchup for him. The round one against Orlando, like, Mobley's advantage on offense is his size and speed, and like his like agility at like his length and height. You know, that's something they can take advantage of. Against the Magic, that was a big, like, they couldn't do that because all the Magic players are the exact same type as Mobley. You have Banchero, you have Franz Wagner, Jonathan Isaac. So there really was no advantages for him. This is a big series for Evan Mobley. I think just how they view him in the future, or like his development, because this is a series where the Celtics are smaller. They don't even have Porzingis. They should be able to run actions that get him in the post, and he can, you know, go one-on-one against a Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown. Like, he has that length advantage on these guys, and they're going to need that from him. So I do think he'll have a better offensive series this series than he did against the Magic. But the one guy, like you said, they need more from Darius Garland. Darius Garland, across the board, like, they need points and they need assists. This guy needs to be way more involved in the offense. He wasn't good against the Magic. Same thing, tough matchup with Jalen Suggs. This will also be a tough matchup because the Celtics have good perimeter defense, but they need more from Garland. So it's going to be quick, in my opinion. I don't, maybe five, probably four.
Nick Newport Jr. weighing in. Is Garland banged up at all? I thought he'd take a huge leap forward in these playoffs. He's been more negative than positive. He's probably, no one's 100% healthy this time of year, but I don't think I've heard anything. I don't think he's been on the injury report at all. So who knows there. Last note, I want to get your thoughts on this. Pat Riley, some pretty harsh words for for his team, trying to light a fire under their ass there. Jimmy Butler, keep your mouth shut unless you're on the court. Kind of took a few shots at Tyler Hero. You have Jimmy Butler now kind of rumored to be traded. Here's my opinion on Jimmy Butler. Everybody loves Jimmy Butler, right? Just because of what we see from him in the playoffs. But he misses a ton of time during the regular season, and I feel like he gets a complete pass for this. Meanwhile, guys like Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Zion, some of those guys were healthy this year, but just their track record from the past couple seasons, we tend to absolutely kill these guys. But Jimmy Butler gets a complete and total pass. And now we're hearing Donovan Mitchell has the Miami Heat very high on his list of teams to go to. That could be a pretty good target for them. Do you think the Heat could reset here potentially? I don't think they're going to go into a rebuild because, as I've talked about, Pat Riley, about 80 years old, he's got probably one more kick at the can here. You think they could reset things here a little bit?
Yeah, we were kind of joking about the Jimmy Butler thing leaving the Heat. I think a week ago we were talking about Joel Embiid and stuff like that. And it seemed like a joke kind of when we saw the rumor on Twitter, but now I've seen multiple reports that it might be over for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. Like you said, it won't be a rebuild. It'll be a reset. It'll be built more around Bam Adebayo. It is interesting. Like, I mean, Jimmy Butler has brought them to two NBA finals. Obviously there's obviously something behind the scenes we don't really know about, where the relationships are fractured a bit. The Heat. Yeah. It's like trauma for me from last offseason. I had Damian Lillard 30-1 to go to the Miami Heat. And I thought the whole offseason, I was like, I'm going to cash this ticket because it looked like they were going to make that move. And then he went to the Bucks, and I was devastated when that happened. I could definitely see Donovan Mitchell. They're going to want, they need an like tier one player just in general to pair with the team they have right now. If you're moving on from Jimmy Butler, they definitely need a superstar to bring in there. So Donovan Mitchell, Miami Heat, it kind of all makes sense from that point of view. I'd prefer he played for a different team in Florida, but it'd probably be the Miami Heat.
Yeah, maybe Butler get out a year early as opposed to a year late. That might be the smart move to do. So that will be interesting to see how that develops. Okay, let's get into the picks here, guys. Over 800 people watching live now across X and YouTube. Guys, hit up that live chat. Let us know what you have already bet on. Let us know why. Give us a little breakdown here. So one game tonight in the NBA. We got six picks for it, though, John. One that we talked about off the top. I think it was John said he bet on this one. It is the Brunson points total. Your thoughts on that?
So I'm going Brunson under 37.5. I bet at minus 113. I mean, for Jalen Brunson, this really is just about the total being so high. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the Pacers have this amazing defense that is capable of shutting him down. It's just 37.5 is such a big number, and I'm sure you're going to hear so many people say that today. Like, even when you look at the 76ers series, it was 31.5. You're 6 points higher and, like, up to 37.5. And I think the big thing for me was, you know, Tom Thibodeau has showed us over and over and over again that he is going to play all the starters for really big minutes almost the entire game. But, like, even if you take this projection with Jalen Brunson and you make it 44 minutes of his playing time, there's still an edge on the under. And it's just like, there's nowhere more for this number to go. I guess you could play 48, but these are, like, the thing too with Brunson is, like, these are really difficult minutes. Like, there's a difference between, like, DiVincenzo playing 44 minutes and Brunson playing 44 minutes, because Brunson is asked to, like, do everything on offense. Like, it's not like he just gets to run up and down the court. This has been, like, multiple games in a row. He's also, I mean, he has been the beneficiary. He scored 40 points a bunch in a row. His total keeps climbing. These have all been close games too. So he's kind of been the beneficiary of that as well. Like, that's kept his total on the climb, where, like, they were losing last game. So you put the ball in his hands. And the big thing for me too, with why I like the under, it's not necessarily the Pacers defense. Like, it's not that the Pacers defense has someone who can shut down Brunson. It's that the Pacers defense is weak at multiple different points. So they don't need his offense. Like, if they're playing against the Timberwolves, you'd be like, Brunson, help us. Like, you need to score. But, like, Josh Hart can score. DiVincenzo can score. Hartenstein can hit those floaters in the lane. Ananobi can get points. Like, this is a Pacers defense. You don't just need Brunson to control everything. They can go to other players. So 37.5, I'm going under.
Speaking of, yeah, Josh Hart, I like him to go over his point total of 16.5. Don't fight it. He was fantastic in round one. I fought it going into game one of this series. I was like, oh, I'll just lay off and, you know, see if he keeps shooting it the way he is. And of course, he easily went over his point total. I was kicking myself for that one. I'm jumping on it here. I still do think it's too low, 16.5. So he's transformed into a great scoring option for the Knicks after averaging only 9.4 points per game during the regular season. He has crossed this number of 16.5 in 5 of 7 playoff games, including 4 games with 20 or more points, including 24 points in game one of the series. And as John kind of alluded to, with the minutes played here for some of these Knicks, this man does not need rest. He played every damn minute in game one of this series. He's played no fewer than 42 minutes in a playoff game so far. So obviously that equals more opportunities to have the ball in his hand, get some shots up, hopefully hit a couple threes. He only hit one in game one. Hopefully we see him on the foul line here tonight. So Josh Hart, you have a pick for his teammate here. McBride, kind of underwhelming to say the least in game one, but maybe a bounce back.
Yeah, this is why I'm going after it, because he's had, so it's Miles McBride over 5.5 points, minus 125. So the reason I am coming after this, McBride has had back-to-back games where his minutes have been completely faded, but now he's being priced as someone whose minutes has been faded. And that wasn't the case. You go 2 games ago against the 76ers, this total was 9.5. So now it's down to 5.5. Is Tom Thibodeau, like, the Knicks are without Bojan Bogdanovic, and now Mitchell Robinson is also out. So in terms of, like, bench pieces, like, who is he even going to? Tom Thibodeau is someone who he only plays someone he trusts. It's pretty much just McBride. I mean, he'll have to play Precious Achiuwa just from, like, a size standpoint, because Hartenstein can't play 48 minutes. I hope he doesn't try to play him for 48 minutes. So you'll probably see Achiuwa from that side. But McBride's really the only other bench piece. And, like, at 5.5, you know, we kind of have, like, an edge over this number if he plays, like, 14 minutes. He played 11 in game one. If you get up to, like, 16, 17 minutes, which isn't asking for a lot, your edge just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I just think with McBride, like, you can't, at some point you got to dial back just a little bit. Like even if it's just Brunson from like 44 to 40 or like Hart from 48 to 44, like I'm not saying, I don't expect Thibodeau to go under 40 minutes for any of these guys. They're going to play the big minutes he's been playing them. But if you just get McBride in there for, it's the five at 5.5 with this, like with, there's no other options. I just feel like you could get a little bit of higher minutes and we have an edge. The one thing I do like for this with McBride is at 5.5, 2 3-pointers put this over, and he is a shooter. You're not, you know, he can do more than just shoot threes, but at least it's in play. You'll get a better price if you play over 1.5 threes made, but at least it's in play. So if he hits 2 threes, we have 6 points, we're good. If it was 6.5, you're kind of, you hit 2 threes, you need one more bucket type thing. So I also like that angle for McBride. I'm not expecting a lot of minutes. I just think he'll get what he's projected for and a little bit more, and that gives us a nice edge on this prop.
Hopefully we see McBride get a couple shots up here tonight. Okay, I'm going to go back to the well on the total in this game. I took the over in game one. Going to take the over in game two. It budged a little bit. It was 217 in game one. Now it's up to 218.5. That's at FanDuel. I saw a couple books had a 219. You obviously want to get the best of the number. So similar reason to game one here. Recent history of sky-high scoring matchups for these teams. 230 or more points in 6 of the last 7 games between the teams. Some takeaways from game one. So they scored 238 points in game one, despite low volume from three-point land for both teams. So they combined for 49 three-point attempts in game one. And you might think, well, that's a lot, isn't it? No, it is not. It's actually quite low for their standards. In round one, the teams combined for 62 attempts per game. It was over 70 in the regular season. So I think we'll see more scoring from three-point land. I think we're also going to see more scoring in the paint because we did see a lot of buckets, easy ones in game one. Interior defense basically non-existent. They combined for 122 points in the paint. That shouldn't be a shock because the Pacers allowed the most points in the paint during the regular season. So yeah, I think we're going to see them cross that number of 218.5 on the total. Okay, so Tyrese Haliburton, very disappointing game in game one. Looking for a bounce back here. What do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm going Haliburton. I'll say both. So I'm going Tyrese Haliburton over 8.5 assists. I betted this morning at -151. It was pretty much 8.5 and juice was higher than -151. That was the best I found. It's kind of flipping back and forth between 9.5, 8.5. If you can find, so like I bet 8.5 -155, that was my highest EV at the moment. And I think I found a 9.5 +104 and that beat it, but there's a +120 out there. So you can kind of go either way. I would actually probably lean more towards the 9.5 +120 if you can get +120. In terms of just like Haliburton, you know, like he's not the same player he was back in November, December, but I mean, his total has also changed, right? Like November, December, we were like 11.5 -130 for an over, 12.5. I think he might've got 13.5 maybe one time, but it was like pretty much 11.5, 12.5. Now he's 8.5, 9.5. So his production is down, but his total's also come down. I do think he, you know, he's been questionable multiple times with a back injury. I do think it's ailing him. I think it's stopping him from being able to score, but he can still create. And like even last game, he had 6 points, I think, on 6 shots, and 5 were from 3. I don't think he wants to drive into the lane and take shots. And I don't think he has, I think he is kind of injured. but like that doesn't stop him from creating. And if anything, it's probably going to force you to, once you get in the lane, to pass more because you don't want to be finishing at the rim and stuff. The Knicks, the Knicks have a really good defense, but it's the interior, it's the size of Hardenside and Mitchell Robinson, it's the wings, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby. At the point of attack, they do struggle. And like you saw with Tyrese Maxey, they have a hard time containing like shifty, fast guards. I don't think they really have a defender for Haliburton in this series. And DiVincenzo was his primary defender. DiVincenzo was an average defender, kind of below average in my opinion, but average defender at best. So Haliburton can create. He has an advantage. Even if he is like a little bit slower with the back injury and stuff, I do think he can beat DiVincenzo. And at 8.5, I'm going over. Also, Mitchell Robinson is a... he's out. So that takes one more rim protector out of the equation just from like someone who might disrupt assists. I mean, he didn't play many minutes last game, but still it's just, you know, the edge in sports betting is very small and that it just helps you. Another thing that helps you just a little bit. So I went over 8.5 -151. You can also go 9.5 +120. 9.5 +120 is probably better expected value than what I bet. It just wasn't available when I bet it. So.
Okay. John in the chat asked, what about Shepherd for 3.5 points? My first thought was, who's Shepherd? And then I look into it. And of course, he's talking about that Ben Shepherd guard there of the Pacers. And just from the recent game logs here, John, I like Shepherd to go over 3.5 points. He played 18 minutes in game one. He scored 8 points. And he had games of 7, 8, 6, and 8 in the first round series versus the Bucks. He played 23 or more minutes in 2 of those games. So I love those dinky little plays. So yeah, Shepherd over 3.5 points. There we go. I'll be rooting for that one. Okay, last bet from you for this game. Then we'll move on to Major League Baseball. Nembhard, what do you like for him?
Yeah, this actually plays into the Ben Shepherd bet he was also just talking about. So I went Andrew Nembhard under 11.5 points, -120. So with Nembhard, like, we have an edge on this number, even if he plays his normal expected amount of minutes that you would usually see from Nembhard. The thing is, I do think there's things working against him in this series that could see those minutes come down for Nembhard. And if those minutes come down, your edge just grows on this prop. So the one thing is like, Nembhard is, he's in the lineup for defense. He's in there to guard. He's the primary defender on Jalen Brunson. He's the Pacers' best perimeter defender. The only thing that concerns me with Nembhard is, you know, you watch game one, Brunson had 43 points, and Brunson did that with 1 3-pointer. So like, if Nembhard isn't stopping Brunson from getting in the lane, hitting his mid-range jumpers, getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, all these things, at what point, like, Nembhard doesn't really help you on offense. He can move the ball. He's a very inconsistent shooter. He doesn't have much of an offensive game. So if you're Rick Carlisle, at what point are you not like, well, he's not shutting down Brunson and he's not really helping us on offense. Should we go a different way here? Like, maybe we bring in more TJ McConnell, Obi Toppin, Ben Shepherd. That's what I was talking about with Ben Shepherd. When you brought that prop again, you bring in more shooting type thing. So that's one reason I think Nembhard might get faded just a little bit. The other two is, you know, he's guarding Brunson as the primary defender. Brunson is elite at drawing fouls. Joel Embiid, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a lot of these guys in the league are, a lot of the best players are. He's really good at getting those fouls. If you're the primary defender on him, there's a good chance, like, Nembhard, this is only his second year in the NBA. Brunson is a little more of a vet, a little more savvy. He was in foul trouble last game. He finished the game with 5 fouls. Again, this could just be like a common theme with Nembhard, where he's trying to guard Brunson. He's trying to stick with him with such a high usage that he gets in foul trouble, and that also fades his minutes. So just the fact that, you know, we have an edge if he plays his normal amount of minutes, I like this bet. But I do think there's like multiple things that could put Nembhard down in the minutes department, and then your edge just grows. And, you know, for that reason, I'm going under 11.5. The Pacers bench was also really good in game one. So there could just be like different patterns substitution wise from Rick Carlisle, just in general.
Yeah. Nick Newport Jr. asking, does McConnell follow up another solid performance? Yeah. He's been pretty good here. I think the point total might've been 9.5 for him. Absolutely would lean the over for that one. So hopefully we see a lot of scoring. Hopefully McConnell and Shepherd light it up for the Pacers here, contribute to some assist from Haliburton and the game total here as well. Okay, so let's move on to Major League Baseball here. Beautiful looking board. A bunch of afternoon games. A bunch of games tonight. I'm up over 15 units on the season now. 3-0 yesterday. Let's try to replicate that today here. 4 total picks. And how exciting is this, guys? An afternoon walk parlay. These are up almost 4 units on the season for me. And I believe this is the biggest one of the season so far. So Reese Olson, he takes him out here shortly. So if you like this bet, you're going to have to jump on it soon. And Michael Lorenzen, both over 1.5 walks, came out to +191. I bet that over at DraftKings. So Olson has walked 2 or more in 12 of his last 16 starts. That's going back to last season. This season, he's hit 2 or more in 5 of 6, including multiple games where he's had 3 or more. He faces the Guardians, who are walking at the 7th highest percentage over the last 2 weeks. So good discipline for them. Then we check out Michael Lorenzen, walk machine. He's walked 3 or more in 3 of his 4 starts this season. He's facing the A's, who walk at the 3rd highest percentage versus right-handed pitching for the season and the highest over the last 2 weeks. So there you have it, an afternoon walk parlay. How exciting is that? Next up, more plus money. Mitchell Parker on the bump here for the Nationals. going to take over 4.5 strikeouts plus 115. If you don't know Mitchell Parker, let me tell you a little bit about him. 24-year-old lefty in his rookie season, and he might be pretty good. Might have a bright future ahead of him, hopefully at least tonight. So the number 4.5, he's averaging exactly 5 over his last 3 starts. He had 8 in a game versus the Astros, who aren't a big strikeout team, and he had 5 last time out against the Rangers. You might be thinking, well, Joe, this is the Orioles, really good offensive team. Yeah, they are, but they also strike out a lot. They're striking out at the 5th highest percentage versus lefties over the last 2 weeks. And specific to the last week, they're striking out at the highest percentage in Major League Baseball. So Parker to get to at least 5 strikeouts plus 115. How about some more plus money? Big plus money show here today. Aaron Civale on the bump here for the Rays. Going to go under 17.5 outs recorded, plus 135. This is something he's failed to do his last 3 games out. And you might be thinking, well, Joe, he's facing the White Sox. Come on, you want to back them? Yeah, I do a little bit, especially at this number, plus 135. Civale is in horrendous form. 5 or more earned runs allowed in 3 straight starts. He has a 2.05 whip in these games with very little amount of soft contact. Now, one of these games came against, yes, the White Sox. Their lineup's been solid against them. In that game, Chicago scored 6 runs off 8 hits. He reached just 13 outs in that game. And Chicago hitters, 77 combined at-bats against Civale, have a 932 OPS against him. Let's go White Sox. And let's wrap things up out in Colorado on the West Coast, right, John Mettler? Jordan Hicks on the mound here for the Giants. Going to go under 2.5 earned runs. This is a beautiful bet, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you why, especially at even money. So he's 7-0 against this number this season. Still hasn't allowed more than 2 earned runs in a game. He's actually allowed 1 or fewer in 5 of his 7 starts. He has a 1.89 ERA. Colorado absolutely stinks versus right-handed pitching. 26 overall in OPS. That's for the season, 28th over the last 2 weeks. You might be like, well, Joe, it's Coors Field. Come on. I don't want to hear about Coors Field for a goddamn second here, because the Coors Field factor has not factored into games this season. For the Rockies, at least, they're 25th in runs scored at home in innings 1 through 5. So we will back Jordan Hicks of the Giants out there on the West Coast in Colorado, right, John?
It is not the West Coast.
I don't know. There is some gray area there. You Google it. There's going to be some disagreement between us on that one.
Well, you make a poll on Twitter. Put a poll on Twitter after the show asking if Denver is in the West Coast.
I think there's some gray area.
Yeah.
I would. I Googled it after we had this disagreement on the show a couple of weeks ago, and Google results seem to lean more in my direction that there is some gray area. So, I don't know. Well, we can get deeper into that another time. 1,300 live viewers right now across YouTube and X. Guys, if you watch the show and if you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Hit the like button right down there. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel here as well. Lots of great content. And if watching the show on YouTube isn't always convenient for you, there's a podcast version of the show as well. So you can find that wherever you find your podcast. So you can check that out, listen to it at the gym, on the ride home, for your walk, on your lunch break, whatever you want to do. Gray area and matter are real. LA transplant in Denver make it the West Coast. Joe is high on gray matter. The only thing I'm high on is life, ladies and gentlemen. Unlike John Mettler on 420 a couple of weeks ago. That's not an insult. It's legal up here in Canada. Okay, Mettler, wrapping right up here. But I'm going to be off the rest of the week, actually. It's my son's birthday on Friday. You got to make a big deal out of your kids' birthdays when they're young. So we're doing a big family thing for him. Mettler, but we're going to be back on Friday with the show. But until then, Mettler, tell the people where they can find the rest of your work.
So I write articles daily at covers.com. You can find my work on X as well at John Mettler. and we do a release show, me and Adam Scherher from EV Analytics. That will be tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. YouTube channel as well. And Friday, it's me and J-Lo, right? For Before You Bet at noon?
It is, yeah. There'll be some NBA that day to cover. Right. So, yeah, so make sure you check out the prop show. The boys are cleaning up here this season. Just another reason to subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. It looks like we're starting to get some regulars around here, which is a bit of a goal of ours. So thanks, guys, for tuning in and chiming in the live chat here today. Best of luck with all of your bets tonight, tomorrow, and the next day, and beyond. We will see you again on Friday.